Right, mm-hmm. I'm ready when you guys are. Just let me know when you want the music.
Well, seeing this 301, let's do this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Let's do this indeed. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 458 of your Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of nothing but just a swell group of fun-loving gamers. Today's January 20th, 2018. If you are listening to this live, then you are in luck. We're going to have a fun show today. If you're not and you're listening to this via recording, well, just know you can always listen to us live. Just tune in to Twitch or Mixer and look up the podcast, and we are here every Saturday, 11 p.m. in the UK time, because of course the UK comes first, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, because that actually really is what comes first, and 6 p.m. in the East Coast, because nobody cares about the East Coast. And if you're in Rimini, Italy, wherever the hell that is, it's midnight right now. You should be in bed already. All right. I'm one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And we have Miss Kim Woods joining us tonight.
Yeah, that's me. I'm at GamerGirl27, pretty much everywhere, Steam, Xbox, you know, the works.
Awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Kim. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll circle back to you for story time in just a little bit. Mark Hanix, Mark Wright, also on the show.
Yes, hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I am Mark Hanix on everything, using one name for everything makes things way easier. And Rimini in Italy is where our good friend Robin will be tomorrow. The jammy bastard. That's why. That's why he's not on tonight. So.
Correction. You said good friend.
Oh, sorry. That Irish Mexican person we sometimes have to podcast with. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, because he's not on the show, because Nicole is on sabbatical. Although rumor is, and this is straight from a message from her to me, she'll be back on come February. So not too far more to wait. But she just wanted some time away, just kind of dealing with stuff on her end, and happy to have gotten a nice little break.
It's good dealing with your end.
Yeah, pretty much. everybody hates to deal with my end. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that is that silhouetted picture in the corner. You know, just like every good sports team, and I liken this to the NFL, which if you don't like the NFL, then I don't care. But the NFL, so you have your team, right? You have your core team. You try to hang on to them as much as possible. But every year there's some turnover, there's some injuries. And so you have to rebuild the team sometimes. You have to bring in new talent. Sometimes you are hiring that new rookie, the scrappy young kid that's coming in that is hot, and everybody is really geared towards this guy is going to be the next slice of bread. And then sometimes you have to go for that old veteran that's pretty much at the tail end of his career. But – you know, it's kind of like a cold piece of pizza or something. You know, it's still pretty good. You can heat it up a little bit and it's going to be okay. So that's what's going on here. So we have a special guest, and I'm not going to introduce him quite yet. I'm going to leave the crowd guessing for just a little bit longer. But if you'd be so kind and unmute your mic, I do have a couple questions to ask you to maybe help us identify who exactly you are.
Okay.
Okay. That's definitely a start. Okay. You're familiar to podcasting. That much I can say is factual.
Yes. That's right.
Now, here's your first question. What is your favorite console of all time?
My favorite console of all time is probably the Xbox.
Okay, the original Xbox?
I'd actually say the Xbox One. I think it's, I like it more than the 360.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. What is your favorite game of all time?
My favorite game of all time is probably Red Dead Redemption.
It's a solid choice. Yeah.
Kim approves.
Yeah. Gets the Kim approval. And just two more questions for you. One is actually still more game related. What would you say is your favorite genre? What kind of games do you prefer to play?
I really like adventure games. So exciting.
All right. And last question for you, mystery guest. What is your favorite pizza topping?
My favorite pizza topping would have to be a virtual pizza topping.
Virtual indeed. All right. If you haven't guessed it yet, folks, we are happy to announce that we have brought in the rising, budding, falling star, however you want to call it. Mr. Phil Olson has agreed to join our happy band, merry band of pirate podcasters. Phil, welcome to the crew. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Greg. It's fantastic to be here. To join yourself, Mark and Kim and the other guys. I'm really honored to be part of the team. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really excited to get you back podcasting because, you know, I love the virtual pizza podcast. However, every time I thought of your podcast, I always got hungry because one of my favorite foods in the world is pizza. And I'm not going to lie, when I first heard about your podcast, I was a little disappointed. It wasn't actually about pizza.
Yeah, it was originally going to be about pizza, but that would have been really too dangerous for my health. I have enough problems eating as it is.
Yeah, I would have been down, though. I would have been tuning in regularly. Anyway, well, yeah, no. So welcome to the show. Do you have any Twitter handles, Facebooks, whatever's, you know, that you want people to know about?
Yeah, I'm Filthy on virtually everywhere. So Xbox, Twitter, Steam, not on PlayStation. I've never made the move over to that. Not yet anyway. Right. But yes, PH1LTHEEE. Going back quite a few years when it was cool to use numbers as part of your name.
You were elite. Yeah. Yes. No, and I'm glad you did spell that out because I would have spelled Filthy.
Yeah, I've just done that. I'm just amending his on-screen name now.
Yeah.
There we go.
It was a nickname at university for we won't go into those reasons right now.
Yeah, no, it sounds a bit borderline.
Yep, a little dodgy. All right, well, so this podcast, it's a video game podcast, so if you are tuning in live right now and you're wondering what it is we talk about, typically we talk about video games, but we also talk about movies, we talk about shows, we talk about life, you know, because life is more than just video games, although some people would disagree. And of course, I want to give some shout outs. We have some new Twitch followers, Joe Arno and Tainted Shirt, both gave us some follows, I think, after last show. So appreciate that. Always looking for new followers. Of course, if you do come across us on Mixer, follow us there. If you follow us on Twitch, great. If you come across us on YouTube, you can follow us there as well. But also, don't forget, give us some reviews if you do happen to have that capability on whatever device and or software program you're listening to us on. Because the more reviews we get, hopefully positive, the more likely it is somebody else will be able to find us and we'll be able to spread our podcasting game-loving cheer across the board. All right, let's dive into some story time. I think we have a jingle for this.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
I almost think it needs to be longer, Mark. It's like it's just.
I can make it longer if you want. I just didn't. I thought it was a bit cringy at first. Yeah. That's why I didn't. I thought I'd keep it short and sweet, but
it's probably better the way you have it. I just get into the song. So
yeah, okay. You like it. You dig that sort of thing.
Yeah, I do. I do. All right. I'm going to go to the other elephant in the room. Mark, what is your story time about this Vikings t-shirt? What is going on here?
Vikings t-shirt? No, yes. It says, no, it says too old for this shit and then Vikings. So the too old for this shit is basically, it's just been one of them weeks again. Just been physically exhausted this week. Glad it's a weekend. Because I'm just getting too old for shit. Too old for manual labour. And Vikings, yeah, I've been mentioning the past few weeks and I've been watching Vikings. I'm now on the second part of season four. Because from season four onwards, that's when they started splitting it into two parts for bastards, like all the other big shows do. I don't know why they do that. But yeah, it's getting really good now. Season five's currently airing on a weekly basis at the moment, so I've nearly caught up. But yeah, it's really good, is that show. Really enjoying it.
All right. Is that the show that's done by, I think, Stars is the one that does it? Or am I incorrect on
no,
that?
No, it's done in conjunction with History Channel and someone else. Okay. It's airing on Prime Instant Video over here in the UK. But the main character actor is an Australian guy who used to be a model back in the day. Oh, God, I had his name on the tip of my tongue and it's just gone. But, yeah, Fimmel. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember now.
Yeah, Travis.
And he's really good. He's really good, yeah. And it's got some really good storylines, some great action sequences. It's basically Game of Thrones in the Viking days, so it's really good.
All right. Full disclosure, the entire story time did not go the way I... Somehow, I misread everything you wrote, which tells you a lot about what my reading skills are, because I really thought you were... Yeah, never mind. There was something to do with not a shirt not fitting properly, and it was a Viking shirt, and I was really curious. And not nearly the way I thought that was going to go. All right, let's see. Phil, I think you might have some stories you want to pass along to us from this past week.
Yeah, I've been really ill, actually. Since New Year, I've just been coughing, and there seems to be a cough everywhere in the UK. I don't know what it's like in the States, but everywhere you go, everyone's coughing and sniffling, and it's really bad. In the office, at work, it's terrible. But I've had to take – I work for myself, but I've had to take 2 days off in the last couple of weeks. And for me, 2 days off means 2 days not getting paid, so that's pretty harsh.
Right.
I don't take time off. So struggling through, so I'll be muting quite a lot and as I cough my guts up. But apart from that, just been catching up with stuff, really. So been watching Real Detectives. I don't know if you've seen this on Netflix. So this is – I'm a sort of guilty pleasure for some of these really bad real crime shows that they have on TV. So they have normally it's really bad actors – you know, recreating the scenes and everything and, you know, just horrible, horrible sets and acting, shaky walls and everything. But this show on Netflix, they seem to have taken it to a new level and actually brought in really good actors. So it flips between the real detective and the dramatization. They've had people like Michael Madsen playing the detectives and it's very, very good. Highly recommended. They've also had a show over here called Hard Sun, which will probably be on BBC America at some point, about the world ending in 5 years' time and what the governments are doing to hide it from the public to stop anarchy and everything. So that's good fun. And I've been listening to a podcast called Adventure Zone, which is a live playthrough of Dungeons and Dragons. So The guys over the Gamesman podcast have been trying to set up a group of us to look at playing Dungeons and Dragons over Skype and over the internet. I've never played it before, so they recommended listening to this, and it is absolutely hilarious. It is one of the funniest shows I've heard in a long time, so it's well worth picking up. And of course, Star Trek's back.
Yeah, Gary Amroth said tonight, Star Trek Discovery's back.
Yeah.
I just like to rub it in.
Which we get very cheaply over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you guys actually get it on like regular TV. Here it's
on Netflix for us.
Well, I mean, okay, regular TV, Netflix, whatever the case may be, we can only view it through the stupid CBS app, whatever it is, and I refuse to sign up to that because, I mean, you know, if it was Netflix, fine. If it was Amazon Prime, fine. I have no interest in Hulu, and I'm not going to pay for some, like, one station's service. Yeah, they can pound sand.
It's good. It's not that good.
Exactly. Exactly. all right. Well, Phil, hopefully you will feel better. It sounds like you are on the road to recovery. Yeah, all I can say is I've had probably one of the healthiest winters I've ever had. not to rub that in. Maybe you guys are actually in the pre-days of – what was that movie, 28 Days?
Where the virus
took over. Later, yeah. Love that movie.
There is a bit of a pandemic in the UK at the moment with flu and bugs and everything.
Aussie flu.
Zombies next. Yeah, 8 million people are affected at the moment. So.
Yeah, break out the guns. Kim, anything you want to pass along?
Actually, yeah, we're in the middle of a heat wave, believe it or not. Snow has melted. Yeah, I know, right? Well, I mean, if you can call 40 degrees a heat wave, but I mean, considering we've had like...
You cannot call 40 degrees a heat wave.
But you can when you've been living like at negative 25 with the wind chill and all that.
True, don't you?
True.
You know? Yeah. And like I said, there's like, no, well, you can't see it, but the snow has melted. Of course, now it'll be muddy for like the next week and a half, but I can live with a 40 degrees and the mud.
We've been forecast snow tomorrow in my area, so...
It was supposed to be raining all through this weekend. And today it's absolutely gorgeous outside. And it's funny because my wife and I, our son actually is on a sleepover tonight. So we kind of have a free night and we knew it was going to be raining and stuff. And so Cindy was just like, you know, why don't we just, you know, I'll kind of cuddle up into my scrapbooking room and just work on some projects and you can game and do whatever. And I was like, yeah, sounds like a good call. It's going to be raining. No big deal. And then just all day today, I've been looking outside and like, there's beautiful sunshine.
Yeah, but we've had heavy, well, for the UK, heavy snow today.
all half an inch of it.
Yeah.
Hey, we've not had it today. More than I. Yeah. So I guess that leaves me. Really, the one thing I wanted to kind of pass along, I saw the movie The Post. So this is the new Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep movie that came out. It's a really good movie. It's about the Washington Post, the newspaper, and back when they were debating whether they were going to post some very sensitive material from that was leaked to them from the U.S. government. And it was pre-Watergate, so just to give you an idea of the timeline. It's a good movie. It starts off pretty slow, and I would say if you're not terribly familiar with American history, the weight of what they're going through is probably going to be a bit lost on you. But overall, it's a good movie, and I would definitely say, you know, it's worth a watch, not in the theater where you're going to pay a premium price, but I would say hold off and catch it on a Netflix down the road or, you know, a rental, whatever. So that's my story. Nothing else. There's nothing else that's happened. You know what? We might as well just shut the podcast down now at this point. There's nothing else to talk about.
We're all over.
There was completely no news.
Just as I joined, you shut the podcast.
Not because of you, Phil. I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. Well, I suppose we could talk about the games we've been playing.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
It's funny because that jingle, he reminds me of Stan Fraser's song.
Yes.
Do you think?
Yes, very much. Very much so. All right, well, let's talk about what we've been playing. Kim, you have been playing a game. I mean, I'm shocked at this.
Right?
Let's talk about it. Come on.
All right, I've been playing Little Dragon Age Inquisition. Surprising, shocking, you know, not really.
Because you finished this game, right?
Yeah. Finally. I mean, like, completely all the way, it's done, you know.
Right, like, there's really nothing left for you to be doing, and then somehow you stopped playing it for months. I mean, we haven't heard you talk about it at all. And then, lo and behold, Was it a bug? Was it an itch? What was this?
Well, there was DLC, and I hadn't played this DLC yet, so I thought I started it during Extra Life and then put it back down and played other things, or Life, whatever you want to call it, and just decided there the other day. I knew I was pretty close to having it done, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit down, I'm going to finish this fucking thing and be done with it. So
I thought that's what you said last time. But now, so what are we playing? What is the DLC?
It's the Trespasser DLC. It kind of wraps it all up and it gets it ready for Dragon Age 4.
Ooh.
So
I've still got the Jaws of Hacken DLC to finish. I've not really got far into that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm halfway through that game.
No.
That was a big game.
It is a big game, and you know, everybody compares it to The Witcher, and yes, in a scale, The Witcher is probably better, but then this has its own little thing, too. So this is the game for me that kind of started the whole RPG quest, I guess you'd say. So
you've got a thing for elves and dwarves, don't you?
Maybe. A little bit. Okay.
Especially the elves. I was just telling
people swords and dragons, but you know, that works, too. So.
Right. And blacksmiths.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing, and you know, after, well, what would it be, almost 5 years, it's now done, finito, finished. There's no more DLC, so I'm good. I can move on. God knows I have plenty of games.
Hands up if you believe her.
I do. You know.
Yeah, I'm not raising my hand.
I don't blame you all. You know, after I was finished with it, I caught the itch to want to actually go back and do it again. But you know.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes,
I'm ignoring that, Kevin. I will. I'm going to come and delete that off of your account. Once you finish this, I'm not going to let you ever play it again. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's actually pretty awesome. This game has lasted as long as it has, and it's got as much content in it. That's the kind of game you want to have in your library. Something you just go back to and enjoy. Mm-hmm. I've got one of those. I'm going to be talking about it too. So, Mark, you're the only other one on here that has just one game listed.
Yeah.
I probably should have started with you because you actually have gamed the least out of anybody this past week.
Yeah.
And that's its fault, really.
and it's also lucky I've actually played this because this is, like I said, the only thing I have played this week, and it was just two rounds last night. One round with yourself and one round with Gary DeFelice. And that is PUBG. I've mentioned last week it had an update last Friday, I think it was. Since this update, it's, for me personally, it's running tons better now. I have not had one crash. I've heard some people have had an odd crash. I think you have, haven't you, Greg?
Yeah. I've had a couple of crashes, yeah, but nothing crazy.
No, I've not had a single crash since. I like the new control system you can option for. So you can pull the left trigger for the sights aiming like a normal shooter. So we had a great time last night. We had a squad of four. There was me, you, Fraser, and Fraser's son, Stan. And
yes,
we got a chicken dinner. But this was a special chicken dinner because we had a full squad survival. All four of us survived.
Right.
And it was great. And I didn't fire a single shot. I looted shit tons of ammo. I had loads of 9mm for my Uzi. I had loads of 5.56 for my M416. And I didn't fire a single shot. I didn't get a chance to. Greg and Stan were just, oh, there's someone there. Pap, 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 pap. Up and down. That was it. So, yeah, it was a great round.
You were the spotter, though. You did help us spot the last guy.
Yeah.
Well played. Now, Phil, I know you've also been playing some PUBG. So, any thoughts from you? Are you enjoying PUBG? I know it's not your typical kind of game. At least that's my understanding.
Yeah, I have been enjoying it. Actually, I've only been playing solo because whenever I go on, for whatever reason, you guys always seem to be off. It's good. I got it as soon as it came out, and I am enjoying it. I don't know yet. I just feel like I have to be in the right mood to play it. And I've got other distractions at the moment.
Well, you actually have two distractions. We'll definitely talk about that in a moment. We certainly need to get you into a squad. I think PUBG plays very differently between solo and squad play. Solo, when you're in a solo game, it's very tense. It's almost kind of like a horror survival game at that point, because you're constantly fearing any building you're approaching. You're always looking over your shoulder. You never know when you're going to die, and you're expecting to die. And then when you get into the squad gameplay, it really does I think it delivers on all of the promises we've had from games like Battlefield and Call of Duties, and where you had the multiplayer team games where you were supposed to work as a team. And I think the reason why this to me delivers on the promise of team play better than those other games is because this is not a real fast shooter. It affords you the ability to be tactical, whereas the Call of Duties and the Battlefield is probably the closest thing that I think ever came about to giving us real good team play dynamics. But I mean, even then, it always still felt like at any moment somebody was going to easily kind of run up on your flank or something, and there wasn't a lot of warning. In PUBG, I always feel like in squad play, you really see the battlefield better, so to speak. And I might be biased to that, but I have enjoyed the team play aspect in PUBG because I've seen the team play mechanics working out so much better. Talking about flanking somebody and approaching buildings and watching for snipers, that actually works in PUBG, whereas in previous games, doesn't really feel like it works all that well. Or maybe I should say it falls apart very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, in solo, it's I haven't had the chicken dinner yet. Usually getting down to the last five or so, mainly by holding back, keeping to the border of the magic curtain. It's a really good game. I have to say I'm actually surprised at the number of people who I didn't think would enjoy it who are. So like yourself, Greg, I actually didn't think you'd enjoy it. But you seem to be, the one at the front with the flag.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I think it's how this game also scratches a number of other itches. I love action games. I like third-person action games in particular. And so it scratches that itch. It scratches that loot-gathering RPG side of it because every game starts up and it's, for the first few minutes at minimum, you're going through that cycle of loot-gathering and finding what you can find and scavenging and building your character out as best you can with the resources you have. And so that to me is another one of those little things that I love in games, and it just scratches that itch perfectly. So, the combat side of it is good. But I do think a little bit of the randomness and the loot is what really kind of does it for me. And Mark, any thoughts on PUBG in terms of what it is that you like about it? And we'll move on from that because I know we've got other games to talk about.
I think it's one of those games where it's got that magic recipe. It's, in its essence, it's basic gameplay, but every game is different. Every time you drop, it's always different. You're creating your own adventures. You're creating your own laughter. And sometimes you're creating your own stress as well, because you can be unlucky at times with where the circle is. Last night we were really fortunate. We were quite lucky with a circle, so it helped us in our quest for the chicken dinner. But yeah, it's just got so much going for it. And it's playing as a team is the ultimate thing with this game. It is good solo, but the teamwork aspect of it makes this game, I think. It's just really, really good.
Yeah, and Kim, you think you ever will play PUBG? I don't know.
Okay, all kidding aside, I've actually looked at it at Best Buy like three or four times. So, I might, because I can get it for like $23 at Best Buy. So I might, take the plunge. I don't know.
All right. Well, when and if you do, you have squad mates. And that's the best part, is they've opened it up. So you can play two-player, three-player, four-player squads. So it's not nearly as limiting. Phil, let's get to the other games at hand. You tell us what you want to talk about next. You have, I think, three games on here. So I'm curious to hear about all of them.
Yeah, the first one is one that I picked up or saw back at EGX last year. And that's some of the developers from the Buzz quiz game have got together and created It's Quiz Time. And it's really good. I mean, I've played it for quite a few hours whenever we have friends or family rounds. It's up on the screen. Similar sort of thing to the Jackbox games, where you can have people joining using their phones or tablets and also controllers. It's very heavily set up, so you can broadcast it on Twitch and have multiple people joining. Lots of rounds. There's 25,000 questions, so you're not getting repetition. It takes your age, so it actually asks age-specific questions and makes quips about who's the youngest and who's the oldest of the people you're playing against, and it's really, really good fun. I spoke to the developers, say at EGX, and had a quick go, and when it came out, I think it was last month, it was buy straight away. It's really good value, actually. Really good for getting people around.
So what system are you playing on this then?
This is on Xbox.
All right, so I thought it was a PlayStation exclusive.
No.
All right, okay.
It was delayed. It was delayed on Xbox.
Right.
They had some technical issues. Getting the certification. It's on Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Right.
Yeah, I was looking for this game because I saw them talking about it, but I totally forgot it was called It's Quiz Time. So I went on looking for Quiz Time and was not finding it. So I was like, all right, it must not be out yet. So that's good to know. And how much is it, if I may ask?
I think it was about £19. So, okay. So not too bad at all.
Okay, so probably like $25 doing my American math of add five. It works for some.
It works, yeah. So in addition to that, with the YOLG, Year of Living Gamedrously last year, I didn't buy any games last year, so waited until Black Friday and picked up XCOM 2, which I've been waiting for a very long time to play.
It's a good game.
It's very good. It's difficult, though.
Yes, it is.
I've had to go back in and start on easy, and it's still really difficult.
Yeah, I play it on easy. I'm not ashamed.
So, not to promote spending more money, but if you do the War of the Chosen DLC, that adds a bunch of stuff into the game. But one of the things it actually adds into the game, which I really like, is there are missions that are timed missions. And they give you basically 11 to 14 turns usually to get to the objective. This will actually double. It has an option to double timed missions. So it'll extend the time out considerably. And I found that very nice.
Yeah, that's probably the most frustrating thing, to be honest. In fact, with the first XCOM, you could take your time. You could plan out your routes and everything. When you've got to complete the mission within 8 moves, you start rushing, you start, instead of overwatching every move, you're running ahead and just running in and getting killed, or at least I am.
Well, and I think that was actually their intention originally. They even said they put those missions in there to keep you from basically trying to, aggravate the enemies and make them reveal themselves. Because in the original XCOM, once one enemy was revealed, every enemy would reveal itself on the screen, basically, and they would all try and come forward and kill you. So their thought was, well, if we push on the timed missions, this is going to make you have to constantly move forward, and you can't just kind of turtle up. So I got what they were doing, but like you said, it makes for some frustrating times with those missions in particular. But no, I loved XCOM 2. Still play it. So.
Yeah, and that was taking up most of my time gaming until I happened to jump back into something that I only spent an hour in when it first came out. I can't remember when it actually came out. I think it came out probably beginning of last year or the year before.
I think Mark actually has a tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, and that's yeah. Elite Dangerous yeah. on the Xbox. Deary me.
It's good.
That is so.
It sucks you in, doesn't it? It's a time suck, is that well?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've noticed a bunch of people have gotten back into this. So I think some of the track guys, if I'm not mistaken, have gotten into Elite.
Yeah.
You have me tempted. I almost fired it up today, but then I got an invite for PUBG, so that pulled me back. But yeah, this is a game that it consumed Mark. I mean, you loved this game.
Yeah, still do. I've not been on it for a while, but yeah, it's a great game. The reason I've not been on it recently is that I'm scared it's going to suck me back in, and all these other massive lists of games I've still to play are going to just get pushed to one side again. It's a great game.
It's just so deep.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get, read up online and on some of the backstories, and you touch on various different things. There's news broadcasts or news bulletins coming through, and
you signed up to his newsletter.
Yeah. It's scary, and I don't know how long it's going to keep my interest. There are only so many times that you can sit staring at a screen traveling to a space station that's an hour away in real time with not doing anything. And I've tried things the other day. I tried things like, switching over and letting it run and watch TV whilst it was traveling for an hour and a half. And unfortunately, after three quarters of an hour, it timed out. And
ouch.
Lost my place, and it's great. Really enjoying it.
Have you got the Horizons pack as well, so you can do the planetary landings and everything?
Yeah. It's so unforgiving, though, the game.
Yeah.
There's no, there's the basic training missions that teach you how to basically fly. There's no instructions on how to land.
No.
There's no instructions on gliding, planetary gliding. What the hell's that?
Yeah.
And it really is, just literally flying by the seat of your pants until you work at him.
You've got a good headset on when you're doing the planetary landings, when you come into that glide bit and your engine shuts down, you can hear the ship creaking and contracting with the cold, and you can hear the frost crackling up the glass. It's just so, so well done.
I'd love to see what it looks like on the One X as well. Because apparently
it's been announced. Well, it'll probably look like the PC version. The PC version.
Tell you what, I will fire it up and I'll take a screenshot for you.
The PC version is incredible. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny though. Elite Dangerous and PUBG do share something in common, which you wouldn't think they do, but they both just throw you into the fire, so to speak, without any real instruction on what to do.
And game preview games.
Yes. Yeah. I'm becoming a fan of the game preview, I have to admit. I like that addition. Obviously it's not always going to be perfect. PUBG certainly started out very rough, but when developers support it properly, I think that kind of system works really well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have talked about at least one of the games on my list. Kim, you referenced one of the games on my list, The Witcher 3. I've gone back in. I'm actually playing the Blood and Wine DLC finally. And man, that game still looks gorgeous. And they did a bunch of updates to it. So it feels very different in a lot of ways. The inventory management, a lot of the things have different layouts to them now. But overall, just still a fantastic game. So, if you have not played The Witcher 3 before, I can unequivocally say this is one of the best RPGs all time, not just for this generation. It is a really well done game. Played some more Cuphead. Whew, unforgiving. But man, another game that just is such a beautiful game to watch. Even though it's frustrating and you're dying over and over and over again, it is just a masterpiece in terms of the technical stuff that they did to get that game to look the way it does. And then last game, I picked up a flying, it's not really a flight simulation game, because it's a bit arcadey. It's made by the developers that also did, I think it was, or at least former developers from the team that did Rogue Squadron. And it's Flying Tiger Shadow Over China. So it is a flight sim light game. World War II, you're basically part of the Flying Tigers that were basically protecting China during the very early days of World War II. And there is a story to it, I suppose. But, I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's basically just missions. You're flying different sorties one after the other. And it's not terribly complex. But it looks nice, and it's a genre of game that really is missing on consoles. There's a new, I think, Ace Combat game coming up, but there hasn't been a ton of flight simulator games. So I wanted something that was going to be a little, light, that I could pick up and fly a plane now and then. And it definitely scratches that itch.
I prefer these type ones, to the modern ones, like Hawks on the 360 was a great game, but the technology aspect of like just locking on and firing a missile, I prefer the old dogfights with the World War II fighters. I'm going to have to have a go at this because I like stuff like this. I played a lot of the War Thunder on PS4 because it was free to play. Mm-hmm. And although you could play in the tanks and everything, I always went for the old World War II planes because it was so good. And this looks very similar. But a better version of that. So,
And this is on console, Greg?
Excuse me, yes. It just came out on Xbox. It was previously a PC release. I think it released on PC about a year-ish ago, maybe a little bit longer. They've done some updates to the PC version, which also got carried over to the Xbox version. And they added in some different kind of add-on, I don't want to call it DLC, but they added in new voice actors, that kind of thing, to really flesh the game out better. So it's a pretty polished experience. But like I said, it's flight sim light. So don't expect a full flight simulation, but you can do, in cockpit, and you can do, the chase cam. There's different model planes that you'll be able to pick up. They do have a multiplayer, which is, I think, up to 16 players on multiplayer. But so far I've just been playing the single player stuff, which is, again, real straightforward. You do one mission, you go on to the next, you go on to the next. But again, if you want a flight simulation arcade-like experience, this is the game for it. And that's pretty much it. So I think we can move on from games we played. And let's get into a good list. Last year, we made a bunch of predictions.
I can't even remember what Phil, these were.
Yeah, Phil, you are not part of this, but every year I basically force everybody to come up with predictions.
So mean. And
I know, but it's fun. It is fun. So we all gave predictions. I usually make sure everybody gives a few predictions for each console maker, and then something related to either PC or third-party software. And so last year we got predictions from myself, from Fraser, we got from Kim, we got from Mark, we have some from Tom, Viva La Pedros, we have some from Rich, we have some from Robin, and Nicole. So we have a full list of predictions. You guys don't remember any of this, but no. I kept all of these. So it's time to sit back and laugh. And so we'll cover our last year predictions on this show. And next week, and I believe Robin will be hosting next week. Next week, we'll do our predictions for the coming year. So without further ado, I'm top of the list. So here are my predictions. And we can score these. We can grade them, however you guys want to do it. I did miserable. So I had Sony, a new Killzone game. That didn't happen because Guerrilla came out.
Yeah, new adventure game. If you'd have said the Killzone developers, you'd have got a point. Right. But no.
Yeah, no. I also said PSVR will not get an official or / permanent price cut all year long. I don't believe that holds true either because I think they cut the price officially somewhere in October timeframe.
Yeah.
I said Microsoft and the Xbox One S would reduce the price to $249 in time for E3. I know they reduced the price. I don't know if it was in time for E3 or not.
I think they reduced it more prior to just VX going on sale? Because I know it dropped here dramatically. Mm-hmm. You can get an S now for, I think it's 200 quid.
So that didn't happen. I said a new Mech Assault game would be announced. Possibly. I'm just a year too early. But that didn't happen.
Wishful thinking, Movlank.
Yeah, I did say the Switch would launch at $250. I think that's correct. I'm trying to think of what the Switch price is, but I know they haven't changed the price.
It's 250. I thought it was about 279 quid over here.
And then it's about $300 in the US. So, yeah. All right, so that didn't happen. I said a Mario Kart game would be announced at E3, and I think they did announce the Mario Kart game for the Switch at E3. So that is my one prediction so far that came right. And it was a remake, of course, of the original Mario Kart.
Deluxe.
Then Oculus, I said Oculus would announce a low-end VR headset coming out this year, compatible with the Xbox One Scorpio. That didn't happen.
They might get a half point, because didn't they say they're doing an hour cheaper version of a headset, Oculus?
I don't know if Oculus said they were doing a cheaper version or not.
I've heard that. I don't know where I've heard it from, but yeah.
I know everybody's been talking about a wireless version for both Oculus as well as the Vive. So anyway, so then I also said Valve will tease Half-Life 3 and create a VR experience around the game. This was what Valve should have done, but they did not do that.
No.
So I'm pretty much batting about as close to zero as possible. So Fraser Moore's, his predictions for Xbox, he said Microsoft will launch backwards compatibility games for original Xbox games. Point to Fraser.
I think he had a bit of insider knowledge for that.
I purposely stayed away from that because I think at that point in time that had already kind of leaked out. Yeah. He said Crackdown 3 will arrive and be bad. That did not happen on both fronts.
Delayed. Yeah.
Yep. And then he said Microsoft will team up with another VR supplier for Scorpio release. That didn't happen. Nintendo Switch will not be powerful enough for third-party games. Technically not happening. That they have been putting third-party games.
They're getting a lot of third-party support lately. It's started a big snowball roll. Yeah,
and he said some major publishers will not support it. They are supporting it at least for now. And he said a major game launch for another device will be announced, not iOS, new handheld announced, single screen, and that did not happen. So we didn't get any new handheld devices announced. And then from Sony's side of it, he said Death Stranding will not arrive this year. Rumors of Kojima exceeding budget and out of control start to surface. That has not happened either, so... although technically Death Stranding did not come out this year.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that for about another 3 or 4 years, are we?
I guess we can give him a half point for that. He said PSVR 2.0 will be announced. It'll be PS Pro only. I believe they did announce the VR 2.0. They came out with a new version of the VR headset, but it's not Pro only.
Right.
Yeah, it's because didn't they come out with a new VR headset that had the earphones built into it? That kind of thing? Am I just completely...
I don't know.
Somebody in chat might be able to figure that out. And then he announced PlayStation backwards compatibility for PS2, not PS3. That didn't happen. So, Kim, let's talk about your predictions.
Okay. Kim,
you said Scorpio will release at $399. I think we all hoped that would be the case. Then you probably gave one of the most wishy-washy predictions ever. More games will be in the Play Anywhere program, which technically is true. There are more Play Anywhere games in the program.
Kim, I like your style.
On PlayStation, it said PS Pro will drop in price so PlayStation can stay ahead when Scorpio releases. That did not happen. I don't believe they actually dropped the PlayStation Pro price until...
I don't think they need to do it because it's 100 quid cheaper than the Xbox One X anyway.
Yeah, and then your big mega drop was God of War will release this year in 2017. That did not happen. You said for Nintendo, The Switch will start out strong, but ultimately fizzle. I think you got the first part of that very correct. Strong.
Should have just stopped there.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can give you a point for that, Kim, unfortunately, because, I mean, let's face it, it's stayed strong the entire time. So here's Mark's predictions. And what's great about Mark's predictions is he starts us off with, so here are my awful yearly predictions. Yeah. Mark, you said Microsoft will announce this year a partnership with Oculus Rift and the Scorpio. Bundles will be available in the holiday 2017. Instead, Microsoft came forward and said, we are not going to bother with virtual reality for the foreseeable future until it gets better.
Yeah.
And I think really they want it to be portable, wireless. I think that's the big thing.
Well, they announced something completely different, didn't they? Like a mixed reality headset, didn't they? They've announced.
Right. Yeah. PC only.
Yeah.
And it was third party. It was a partnership, but it was third party suppliers, not Oculus. You said Sony God of War will get announced, but it's delayed at least 6 months. So it got announced, but it didn't get delayed. It just
never had a release date, did it?
So we can give you a half point for the announcement. Yeah. I'll be generous there. Nintendo, you said they will release more games on iOS like they did with Mario Run, and possibly funding the franchise Kirby, Donkey Kong, and Zelda, etc. Possibly using franchises like Kirby, Donkey Kong. I think they did release one more iOS game. I could be wrong on that.
I don't know. The only one I know is the Mario. So I thought that might have been a bit of a cash cow for them.
Pokemon Go, that was the thing that was on iOS.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, moving on. PC, you said Red Dead 2 will come to PC unlike the first game. I don't think that's been announced.
No, I don't think it has, is it?
No.
I'll be surprised if it doesn't, because, mind you, GTA 5 came a year after or 2 years after, didn't it?
So. Yeah, true. True that. All right, Mr. Viva La Pedros, his predictions. Now I'll speed this up a little bit because I know it's taking some time. Sony, PS Pro price drop around Scorpio release. That didn't happen. Lack of games for PSVR will see it struggle and not well received by end of 2017. Yeah, might make a case for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they have plenty of games, but I don't think anybody has said that those, because they've been more experiences than games.
Yeah.
And I don't think PSVR has lit the world on fire.
I think there's a lot of shovelware games, isn't there?
Yeah. But I can't say it's not been, you know, well received. So, sorry, Tom. You said Microsoft will release the Scorpio in November, and it'll be £450 or $500 US. That did happen. And no Kinect included, also accurate. That did
and
happen.
And he got the price spot on as well.
Yeah, spot
look
on the price.
Yeah.
Then he said Nintendo, new Mario Kart and Splatoon sequel announced. That happened. Switch sales to not make a big splash. Complaints of battery life, handheld part of Switch. It made a big splash. And not many people really complained about the battery life. I think that was an early on grumble because people saw the specs and they were like, oh, it's only got that many hours of battery life. But I have not heard anybody really saying it's a problem.
I think they've complained more about the battery life on the Joy-Cons when you disconnect them than the actual unit itself. But, yeah.
And then he said Zelda delayed and not available at launch. Sadly, Tom, incorrect.
Launch, yeah.
Did launch and was very much available. And then he said PC will get a new version of the Oculus Rift announced with lower price point to make it more accessible for gamers. So, again, I don't know if they did a new version of the Oculus Rift. I don't think they've had
They did. Let me have a look.
But I do know they lowered the price point for sure. So while we're looking that up, I'll continue on to Rich. So Mr. Webster, his prediction for Nintendo, new Mario game gets announced for holiday 2017, release on Switch. So Mario Odyssey, I don't know if that had been announced already or not, but that was definitely something that came out holiday 2017 for the Switch. He said, new AAA first-party IP announced, taking advantage of the PS4 Pro for Sony. Man, that's so vague. And, I mean, yeah, I suppose you could say Destiny 2 or what they have, the Call of Duty license. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think anything specifically has ever been called out to take advantage of the PS4 Pro, although plenty had PS4 Pro support. So I'm inclined to not give Webster a point on this, just for the sake of me being mean. See, I give, I take away.
So just to clear up the Oculus bit, they're only rumors. Nothing has officially been announced with the Oculus 2, so they're all rumors.
All right, so he said Microsoft, new Halo announced for the Xbox One and PC. That didn't happen. PC, he said, Bethesda Game Studios says a new game was announced, not Elder Scrolls or Fallout. Yeah, technically that was Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, Wolfie 2, yeah.
Yeah, so point there. And then he said, for Sega, Sonic Mania sells at least 1 million copies first month. I don't know if it sold 1 million in the first month, but it sold pretty well, and it was received pretty well. So, yeah, we'll give that to him. What do you say, Phil? Yeah? No?
Yeah, go on.
All right, go on. Moving on. Robin said for Xbox One, backwards compatibility for Xbox Originals. I think, again, this was a rumor that was already coming out. So I'll give you the credit, Robin.
Plagiarism.
Exactly. I said Scorpio launch games, Minecraft 2, Crackdown, and Sea of Thieves. None of those happened, Robin. None of those happened. The PlayStation side of things, he said a PlayStation Pro style controller. I think he was trying to say something similar to the Xbox One Elite controller. I don't think that ever came out from Sony. I think there was a third party PS4 Pro style controller, but nothing from Sony themselves. And then PS Pro to drop to 300 before Scorpio releases. That didn't happen. And then he went on to Nintendo. He said Switch will have online party chat multiplayer and will be a premium service like Xbox Live Gold, PSN, but poorly implemented. Yeah.
They did announce a paid-for subscription, didn't they? And they have released party chat via your phone, which is convoluted. So he's pretty right there, isn't he?
Yeah, although the premium solution has never come out. I don't think they ever, they didn't launch it, did they?
No, not yet. No.
Yeah, they did announce it, though, so we know that's coming. And then he said, Zelda will be poorly received, much hoped for, much less delivered. Unfortunately, completely the opposite for Robin, but fortunately for gamers, Zelda was a fantastic game that was very well received and absolutely delivered. All right. Into the final bit of predictions. So Nicole, she said, PC, I have nothing. PC will continue to take a dive and consoles will rise.
I think PC's...
I think PC is really off. Kind of...
It's just going up and up and up, yeah.
So then she said on VR, since and she had some lengthy predictions here. So I'm just going to read through them because they're very colorful.
No.
For VR... Since this is becoming a thing, I figured why not make a prediction about how this is going to pan out for the year. Since it is the new kid on the block, it still won't be allowed to sit at the popular kids table. Though we, the consumers, will get a few super cool experiences, it won't be enough to make VR as mainstream as developers are hoping. All of that absolutely true, if you ask me. She then said, Sony will continue to strive to be the popular kid, and they will be ahead of the game. Oculus Rift and HTC Vive will continue to struggle. Oculus, moreover, because it's owned by Facebook and they don't understand the potential. I think that's actually all pretty accurate. Oculus, out of the three, is probably struggling the most. HTC Vive is seemingly doing pretty well. And Sony, I think if you're going to look at all of the VR companies, they're in the catbird seat in terms of having sold the most units, but it's still not a real, it's the thing. In fact, sadly, I think something else is going to become the thing, and we'll talk about that in the news. Xbox Scorpio will be full of hype and come out of the gates hot and ready to run the full race, and it will give PlayStation a run for its money, but will fall short of the finish line mostly due to the price. So, I mean, yeah. It certainly the Xbox has not overtaken PlayStation in terms of popularity, but certainly the Xbox One came out, the One X came out, met all the expectations and then some. And price is still, it's still a bit of a factor for the Xbox One X. So much so that, Mark, I know you canceled your Xbox One X order because of the price point. So,
yeah.
And Kim, I think the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. I didn't want to, but I had no choice, yeah. I still want exactly. one, but, yeah, it's
a lot to justify.
Yeah.
When you see it, though, I'm just saying.
I know. I saw your shiny armor on The Witcher 3, and I'm like, holy crap, dude. Really?
Yeah. It's pretty. It's pretty.
It's the additional TV that needs to come with it as well. 4K
True.
TV.
Yeah.
True that. Let's see. Then she went on to say, PlayStation will do another price drop, thus giving it that much-needed boost to surpass Xbox and its new toy. I think they did do price drops, so... yeah, Nicole so far has been pretty good.
Made us all bad.
Yeah, I know, really. And then Nintendo. She said the new Nintendo Switch will come out swinging for the fences and hit a home run, making it the surprise of the year. But due to lack of third-party support, will fall flat on its cute little handheld face, making it fall just short of reaching home plate. So
she started so well with that.
It's like she stumbled at the finish line.
Half point for I think.
Half point.
Yeah.
Half point. That's and then she just had a few last notables. Red Dead Redemption 2 will launch and be delayed. The launch will be delayed. So Red Dead 2 got announced, but they never gave it a release date. So I can't give her a point.
They did. They gave a date of September, and then they delayed it to April this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She got that spot on.
Corrected. She's spot on. Well played, Nicole. Nicole, by the way, has won this.
We covered that.
Yeah. She said Halo 6 will be announced. It didn't get announced. It has yet to be announced. We know it's coming. They've said it's in development per se, but they have not actually made an official announcement. So then developers will try to ride the coattails of Pokemon Go and create mobile games that emulate the popular game style. This actually is a miss because I don't think anybody has tried to recreate Pokemon Go.
I've heard there's a Harry Potter one in the works, but I've not seen anything official yet.
Yeah, kind of surprising. The success of that game.
Yeah, it's
you would have thought for sure.
I'm surprised more people haven't jumped on the PUBG bandwagon, and I'm sure they will eventually. A prime example was I thought they'd release a PUBG version in GTA Online. Thought that was a given, but it's not happened yet.
Well, I think we can safely say there have been some clones of PUBG Fortnite. that game, well, we'll talk about that shortly too. So anyway. Then her last prediction, since there are more powerful gaming consoles and developers will – sorry. I'm going to read this again because my reading skills apparently are at the second grade level right now. Since there are more powerful gaming consoles and developers will be taking newer and more creative risks, game prices will increase. Thank God that did not happen.
Right.
Prices have stayed the same, although you could say that we certainly have seen an uptick on loot boxes. So there you go. Those were our predictions from 2017. Mostly horrible. Nicole did pretty darn good, so well done, Nicole. And that's pretty much the gist of the list.
Baron von Glory in the chat, Greg, has put Fortnite MTLS game of the year. Use your own words against you there, Greg.
No, I'm happy that he has adopted that. Well done. Well done. MTLS, baby. All right. Let's move on, Mark. I think it's time for the news jingle.
Here is the fucking news.
I really should have thought to share the predictions with you guys, because now I feel like I've done a shitload of talking. Mark, actually, why don't you walk us through some of the news stories to start off?
Yeah, so the first one is some leaked information on the Xbox One Elite Controller version 2. Details on the Xbox Elite version 2 was leaked on a Chinese site called Beidou, and are as follows. Rechargeable batteries, which are undetachable, a bit like the PS4. MagSafe-like charge port, which I have on my MacBook Pro, which is really good. You can just pull it off magnetic connection. Really neat. USB Type-C, so it's more universal. Bluetooth, so you can connect easily to Windows 10 without an adapter or a dongle. It's got three-level hair trigger. Well, nice one, Robin. I didn't spot that one. Nearly slipped up there, Robin, you bastard. Three-level hair trigger locks. Well, on the current one, you've got two levels. You've got 50% and full. So, yeah, this is going to have three levels. It'll have three profile switches. The current has two, so you can have your controller set up for two different games. There's a little button right in the middle. You can select one or two. This one's going to have three. And it's going to have longer key travel for the paddles. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like my Elite controller. I do like the triggers having three settings as opposed to two. Because one of the things, and this is just a little tidbit for those of you out there that might be using your Elite, when you set it to short throw and you're playing PUBG, it actually is detrimental. So it will keep you – so like for gas, when you're applying the gas in your cars.
Yeah.
The short throw does not apply the full gas, so your car will not actually go as fast as it possibly could. And in the old control scheme, the left trigger, when you had the short throw on, it wouldn't activate the look down scope. So you couldn't look down your scope with the short throw. So anyway, that will be changing with the new one. So we'll have to see.
As well as the hardware, things like that, you can go in the app for the controller, and you can actually alter how the sticks work with sensitivity. You can have it like a quick response, slow response, curved response. There's a lot of configuration to the Elite controller, and I think it's one of the best controllers I've ever used. So I'm looking forward to his second version.
Yeah, the one thing that concerns me about this one is the undetachable batteries.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tend to keep controllers. I don't tend to break them. I keep them for quite a while. So my concern would be what happens when those batteries start failing or start to not be charged or not hold charge. You're going to need to get another one.
Yeah. That's the only downside to the PS4 controllers for me, because, like, I've still got my launch controllers and they don't last long at all now. Compared to the Xbox One. The Xbox One, I just buy some rechargeable Panasonic Eneloops batteries, which are superb, and they last forever. Mm-hmm. And if they go, just put two more in. It's great. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with the non-detachable battery.
Yeah, hopefully price cut as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think what'll happen, you know, certainly when they come out with the second version of this, you'll see a price drop on the original, because they're going to want to clear out inventory. So that'll actually be a windfall for those that want to get an Elite controller or Elite style controller, but don't want to pay, you know, the $150 for it. All right, next story, Mark, please.
This is about Remedy, the development company who did Quantum Break and Alan Wake and everything. So apparently the traditional AAA single-player experience is really expensive to make, and costs have gone up by 10 times. So they did an interview with WCC Tech, and they've said that the reality is the traditional AAA single-player experience is just really expensive to do. The expectation level from gamers is really high in terms of how long the game is and what sort of features it has, how good the production values are. All the things are very expensive to do. If you go back, I think it's 10 years. I think Robin's put 100 years.
Yes, Robin, if you go back, with you.
He's a fucker. If you go back 10 years, you can still say the console market is roughly the same size. In the end, the audience you're selling to is relatively the same size, but the cost of making the game is tenfold these days. So that's an obvious problem. I just seen something.
Yeah. So I mean, development costs going up. I don't think that's terribly. News breaking, earth shattering. I think we all kind of have expected it and kind of understand. There's still games that are being made on a relatively inexpensive budget, so that still is happening. I think, the next developer actually in our news list, Quantic Dreams, they're talking about Detroit Become Human has a budget of about $30 million to make that game. And if you think about the visuals of that game and how great it looks, that's pretty impressive that they're doing that on a $30 million budget. Now, people can make the claim of QuickTime events, a game filled with QuickTime events is going to, kind of make for a easier experience to develop. But either way, I think from a AAA perspective, yes, development probably – the costs of development are probably going up. But I think indie developers, which we've seen such a big influx this generation, they're doing things on budgets that in years past probably wouldn't have been possible. So I think technology has, in some respects, really helped the indie movement, probably hurt the AAA movement a little bit more in terms of budgets. But, I mean, the tools out there now are allowing a lot of smaller teams to come in and do some really crazy good stuff. All right, next
one. I'm sure they're raking in more money as well.
So. You hope. That's.
But whether it's tenfold, that's another thing. So anyway, yeah. Quantic Dreams, they've been accused of having a hostile work environment. Employees have taken to Twitter to defend them. So Quantic Dreams is the studio responsible for Detroit Become Human on the PS4, and they also did the, the Heavy Rain, Duke Scaff loves so much.
Sorry, I'm seeing some of Robin's doings again.
Yeah. All right, okay, I'm going to have to be careful reading this out. So, yeah. So they're saying that some of its directors, such as David Cage and some other guy, which I can't read because it's French, and I don't know if Robin's doctored
and
it anyway.
I think Robin has taken a piss at that.
Yeah, who were pointed out by three French maids. So I think that's three employees for maintaining an inadequate work environment with signs of racism and sexism. Regarding the issue, two employers took to Twitter to defend the studio and called lies on these allegations. The operator of motion capture at Quantic Dream says that the atmosphere is great, nothing toxic, and employees are all different and laugh at everything. So,
yeah, I suppose this is one of those we may never know the real truth of this, but I think that sometimes somebody's perception of what is okay versus what really is okay, I think that does become a little bit convoluted. I read a really interesting piece regarding David Cage and his games, and they kind of said, because David Cage came out and said, just judge my work, judge me on my work and what I've done. He is trying to kind of claim that, he has had characters of color and characters of different gender that are part of his games, and that he's embraced diversity in that respect and covered topics that are difficult. And on one hand, you can say, yeah, I see that. But then on the other hand, you look at some of what he's done, and you go back to Fahrenheit, and there was a scene of it was like a special unlock, I believe, where they made a in-game little video of David Cage dancing with the main character. And it was, a fully animated kind of, cartoony, fun little thing. But it was David Cage fully dressed. And then the character was basically in her underwear. And so it's like, okay. Then you go you shoot ahead to Heavy Rain. And, of course, there's the infamous shower scene with, they had quite a bit of revealing shots in that shower scene in the game. And then I forgot what the game was right after Heavy Rain, but it was the as Ellen Page, I think, was the actor, and they did a bunch of basically took her character and then created nude versions of her character without her approval and put that into the game. And even though they claim that wasn't her, you know, again, you judging by his, you know, body of work, is, you know, there's some kind of questionable things. And, you know, they talked about having, you know, some African-American, you know, characters in his games. But if you look back at those characters, they're pretty token. They're not exactly fleshed out characters. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe on this. Purely speculating. My guess is whoever it is felt it was a hostile environment, probably felt it was a hostile environment for some justification. And hopefully, you know, Quantic Dreams will rectify whatever it is that they did that pissed them off. Are you eating ice cream, Mark?
No.
Are you eating ice cream?
Not ice cream, Mark. No.
Pudding?
Chocolate cake. Jenny's just had some chocolate cake and she's left a little bit, so she's offered me it. Cat turned out chocolate cake.
He's gosh. Eating on the podcast. Fire up. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
So yeah, I forgot what your pet is.
Yeah. And I just want to like go back, by the way, to our New Year's show when somebody was saying my New Year's resolution is.
But in my defense, that was only a small amount.
Right.
I haven't had a full slice.
Okay. All right.
Well, not today, right. Anyway.
For those listening, Jenny, Mark's wife, just put into camera view a full slice of chocolate cake that apparently is waiting for Mark.
that was my son. He's eating a full slice. So.
All right. Mark, let's move on to the next story, please.
Fortnite Battle Royale is on PUBG's tail. It surpassed 2 million concurrent players. So Epic Games, the creator of the Unreal Engine 4, they've released Fortnite, and it appears to be getting a fantastic success with their Battle Royale version, which is free to play. In a recent interview, Eric Williamson has discovered that Fortnite has surpassed 2 million concurrent players, which is 1 million less than what Bluehole's PUBG has recently achieved. So that's good, but for a free to play, it ain't no PUBG, in my view.
Well, I you know, I don't want to discount this game.
No, I know a lot of people like it. My nephews like it, but yeah. I couldn't get on with it. I didn't like the building bit.
Yeah. Kim or Phil, have either of you tried this game?
Mm-mm.
No, neither one? Okay. Yeah, I did not get along with Fortnite, mostly because Fortnite, in terms of the gameplay mechanics, it's a hoppy shooter. And in that the people that are really good at Fortnite are also probably people that are really good at like Halo, that kind of thing, where you're hopping around, you're jumping and shooting. I'm just not that guy. That's not a shooter I want to play. But let's not discount. This game is free to play. It came out of nowhere to be kind of the rival to PUBG. And yes, it is absolutely just them taking the piss and cloning PUBG into the Fortnite universe. You know, but they did some creative things. And the whole building on the fly of being able to create stuff really adds a different dynamic to the game. You know, seeing people be able to cross a lake and just basically lay down a bridge in front of them as they're coming over the lake. You know, that's a different spin on this genre. But yeah, so there's that. And they did just re-release a new map. It is just funny. It is an island just like PUBG, but they've added more stuff to the island. So I don't know. I foresee this game is going to continue to have a popular following for quite a while. Especially being free to play, it's hard to not see that being somewhat of a success.
Yeah, the actual proper game Fortnite then has that actually got a release date yet? Because that's still in. It's weird that game because it's paid early access.
Yeah, it's supposed to
for
come
a
out.
A play game. It's,
yeah, it was supposed to come out at the beginning of the year. I'm thinking by March.
Right,
I don't know for sure when it's going to get its full release. But
I still can't get my head around why it's a paid preview for a free-to-play game. I still cannot understand that. So.
Yeah, yeah. They skated by some rules on this. And I think part of it was they wanted to release the game onto Sony, but Sony doesn't have a game preview program. Mm-hmm. So they had to do a paid release on Sony. And then on the Microsoft side, obviously they wanted to be in game preview because it was going to be pre-release. Yeah. But then they basically – I think they allowed you to download the demo for free, but then you had to – they also were selling a bunch of game packs at the time. And right. I think you could only get into the game preview with the game packs for the main game. The Battle Royale spinoff is completely free, and that's been free since its launch.
Yeah, but I'm referring to the proper Fortnite game with the zombies where you have to build and defend your base, not the –
Right.
Battle Royale version.
All right. Before we get to the biggest news topic this week, real quickly, Sony had a executive shakeup. And I don't really know if this is all that important of a shakeup, but their third-party developer, and we just lost Phil. Hopefully he'll be back in. Their third-party developer.
Yeah, his Bluetooth's just crashed apparently. So.
Ah, okay. So Sony Interactive Entertainment, that's a mouthful to say, has parted ways with its head of third-party developer relations, and that was Florian Henserkstein. Man, that was difficult. Anyway, he had been with Sony for quite some time, and now he has departed. He announced he would leave in October, one of the things that Sony has done well this generation has been third-party support, so it'll be interesting to see if this has any ripple effect. But I have to kind of imagine this isn't going to be that big of an issue for them. I think they're still going to command a lot of third-party support because Sony is just the console leader, so... all right, the big news story of the past week. Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct. They announced a few games. Nothing like huge, crazy came out of that. And then, like 2 days later, I think it was, they kind of leaked out this thing at, hey, we're going to have an announcement for the kids, and this is something for the kids or something to that effect. And then this crazy video gets out. That Sony launches, and if you haven't seen the video before, go check it out. Look up Nintendo Labo, and basically this is what Nintendo is hoping is going to be their next big thing, and this is basically laser-cut cardboard sheets that Nintendo is selling in packs along with some game software that will have games that will run with the laser cut cardboard, and you literally craft. It's hard to show on my scene. Hopefully, the video's up.
I'm going to do it now. I've just realized there's a video link.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, they had crazy stuff on there, like fishing poles, pianos, backpacks for like dressing up like a robot, and these are literally like toys to life kind of DIY. You build out these cardboard creations, and then you're taking your Switch, and you're either putting your controllers into the Switch, or you're actually loading the Switch screen into these cardboard contraptions, and playing with it that way. It is very much geared towards kids, although I think people will argue that and I think you can make a safe argument that a vast majority of the people that are buying the Nintendo Switch currently are actually older. I think the way they launched the Switch is it had an appeal to the older generation of gamers, or not just an older generation of gamers, but just an older gamer, not so much a kid. And they found a lot of success with that, but they haven't had anything really to drive kids in, not like the Wii had. And this, I think, is their play at trying to get that Wii audience back to Nintendo. And they're calling it Toy Cons. basically cardboard cutout toys that work in conjunction with your Nintendo Switch in various ways, and it's geared towards kids, not adults per se.
Unless you're Gary Lever.
Unless you're Gary Lever.
Yeah.
A couple things. One, price points start at $69.99 for the base pack. The robot pack is $79.99, I believe. So that's a heavy investment. You're getting five cardboard kits out of it. I'm going to go with you guys first. What are your impressions of Nintendo Labo before we get too far into the bits and bobs?
It's not going to last 2 seconds with kids. We're going to destroy it in no time. And what's to stop people putting these cut-out plans up on the internet for people just to print out and cut their own cardboard up?
That's what Nintendo are doing anyway, isn't it? They're actually putting all the... No, you're paying for the software, basically. So all the plans are going to be there free to download.
Right,
Nintendo are putting those up. So you're paying for the software. Obviously, you're going to pay for the better cut cardboard.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of them are large pieces and everything else and printed. Not everyone's got a printer that'll take cardboard, so you can print onto it. But
yeah,
you know,
I don't know anybody that has a printer that is big enough to print on the cardboard pieces that they were showing, for the record.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, no, Phil's absolutely right. Phil's absolutely right. They do have this notion of you'll be able to kind of reprint or do what you want on the back end of it once you're done with your cardboard pieces. But Kim, I don't know. You have your young little nephew Tony.
Yeah, and I think this is cool, but he's 4, and I can see the appeal of us putting it together, but in about 5 or 10 minutes, he's going to be like, okay, I'm bored with this, and let me play with it in some way that it's not intended, and in 15 seconds, it will be pieces. So, my cats, on the other hand, would love it, because it's cardboard. So
yeah, so this is a funny thing. I've heard more and more people saying cats love cardboard, and I just never thought of that or even really kind of – I've had cats my whole life. I've never had a cat that was really into cardboard, at least that I knew of. Maybe it's just
little
because
boxes.
They have cardboard.
They like
thing
boxes.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's boxes.
Yeah, so I mean it looks cool, and if your kids are old enough where you can sit back and they can play with it and they won't tear it up into oblivion, then that's cool. But, you know, I'm just sitting at looking at it going, yeah, Tony would like it for 5 seconds and then it would be just cardboard. So –
And as Gary says in the chat, you know, it looks like high quality cardboard.
It does look like high quality cardboard. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think Tented Duvet in the chat's got the best sort of like thing he's put. Blue Peter did the same thing 25 years ago on TV with egg boxes and sticky back plastic. So you Americans might not know what Blue Peter is, but it was a kid's show back in the day when I was a kid and, they used to show you how to craft stuff and that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is, from a toys perspective, these kind of cardboard cutout toys, they have definitely made a comeback. I mean, I see like dinosaurs you can put together that are made of cardboard that, you know, looks like bones and you're kind of putting it all together. It's not meant to be played with per se as it is so much to be looked at. Obviously the big question is how sturdy, how well will these hold up to wear and tear? And then the other question is, how well is the Switch going to be protected? Because some of these I see and I'm like, okay, the piano, it's nestled nicely in there and you're tapping the keys on the piano keyboard and the Switch isn't going to be in danger in that environment. But the fishing pole one, the Switch literally sits on the ground. Okay. When you have the fishing pole has a string going down into the box that the Switch screen is in, and you've got your fishing pole above it, and you're literally yanking up and reeling in with the fishing pole, I just see that that string's going to get caught on something, and suddenly your Switch is going to go flying. And then just not to mention, I don't know that I want to be putting my Switch on the ground in that fashion. I mean, it's a $300-plus investment. That's a little scary to think that you're also going to be putting that in the hands of a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old. I mean, ask Fraser Moore is how he feels about his headsets when his child gets a hold of them. I just predict some very bad things for Switches with these cardboard cutouts.
I actually like Nintendo's thinking, to be honest, because the amount of times you've watched your young children open their presents at Christmas time and they cast aside the toy and play with the box. This sums it up perfectly. So for those type of kids, this is perfect.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. I mean, obviously, it's not something that is geared towards me. I'm not a Switch owner. Phil, you're not a Switch owner. Mark, you have been a Switch wannabe owner, but not a Switch owner.
I've held Robins for an hour, but apart from that, I do want one of VR.
Was the power on for yours? Because he let me hold it too, but it was dead battery.
Oh, I played it. I played two different games. I played Mario Kart and I played Zelda. So, I was privileged.
At the EGX meetup, we had three of them.
Yeah.
Three Switches and all playing Mario Kart. And it was really good, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. And if I had the spare 270 quid, then I'd look at getting one.
Yeah.
They are, and the third-party support and everything else, and, but not yet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And Kim, I know you also are not a Switch owner, but is it something that's tempting you?
Not really. No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So not for us. We'll have to maybe see what Robin thinks of the Labo next week, since he is a Switch owner and he does have children.
Yeah, I think his initial thoughts were that will last 2 seconds, especially with Glenn around.
Yes.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what he says.
All right. Well, we did have some community feedback. So, Mark, I know you had pulled some of this stuff up. Apparently, we were really, really bad about getting Simon's emails.
There's some sort of like technical glitch between his email server and ours. We haven't been getting them, so apologies for that. But after a bit of backwards and forwarding on Facebook, we've got him to send them to the original podcast email address, and we've got them now. Do you want me to go through them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the 5th of January, he's put, "Hi, guys and girls, still don't use Twitter, so I hope this is okay." Well, it would have been okay if we'd have got them. "I finished the story in Need for Speed Payback. It's actually a good game." You're the first person I've ever heard say that.
"But
caught up in EA's loot box debacle, which means a lot of people have avoided it, which is a shame." That's the end of that email. So I didn't know they had loot boxes in Need for Speed Payback, but it is EA, so... Yeah.
I think they have loot boxes in every game now.
Yeah. And then on the 12th of January, he's written, "Hi all, in case you missed it, here's the news items for you. Burnout Paradise HD reports are gathering pace. Burnout Paradise, Criterion's excellent open-world racer from 2008, looks set to make a triumphant return. Several reports have now penciled it in as a HD release for relaunch in March, likely for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Do you think, buy this again after I've played it 12 times to 100% completion? Well, this was my first comment in the article. Take my money now." So he's a huge fan of it. I must admit, I played a lot of this on 360. It was great in some multiplayer sessions we had on Friday Night Racing. Whether I'd buy it again, don't know. It depends on the price.
Yeah, I believe this is confirmed.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, I didn't even know about this. So, yeah, thanks for bringing this up, Simon. Yeah, it was a great day, great game back in the day. I used to love the Back to the Future DeLorean type car. They couldn't call it DeLorean for licensing, but when you used the boost, it had the tire tracks which burnt away and everything.
Right, right.
And you could turn the wheels around and hover it. So that was quite cool. I used to love that car.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
I was because they did the another pack as well, which was a Cops and Robbers one, which was really good fun. Whoever played that they'll know what I'm on about. It's one half of a team was police and the other half were robbers. You had to get to a destination, and that was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. I'm kind of over all the HD releases now. It's just so much, and it seems like it's always the case. So, Kim, Phil, either of you interested in picking this up?
No.
There's too many new games to play. To be honest, I think there's nothing left that an HD remake would make me go, oh my god, I've got to get it. And there's nothing left now.
And it is backward compatible as well. So, and it was free on Games with Gold, so everyone's got access to it anyway, probably.
So. Yeah, true.
So his final email is for this week's show, 20th of January. So he sent this yesterday, and he's put, "Hi all, here's something I joined in on that I thought you might like to know about. It's a sort of successor to Yolg, the Year of Living Gamesously, though completely independent of it as far as I'm aware." I think it will be, because Yolg was all Robin's idea. "The idea is to buy only 10 games during 2018 in order to get the most of what you have bought and the games you've already got. Hence my comparison to Yolg, except that this is something I might be able to do. I'm currently on zero purchases, though I do have my eye on a couple of games in the sale." And he's put a link in there, so I'll put that in the chat. And he's also put, "P.S. I have an Xbox gamer tag of Simon Kempster, but that is only for Forza Horizon 3 on my PC. But he's mainly on PSN, and his gamer tag is Kozigan, not Cosign, Greg."
Yes, I know. Kozigan, mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you guys think about this, then? Someone ripping off Robin's Yolg. But you can buy 10 games. I think that's quite lenient, to be honest.
That's huge. Yeah. That's my yearly.
Yeah, game, I'm gonna say if it's 10 AAA games, you're looking at 500 quid there.
Yeah, that's so, it's
generous.
Similar. It's a knockoff. I mean, what are you gonna say? but Robin, in full disclosure, he did say this wasn't exactly an original idea on his part either.
No,
he had borrowed this from somebody else.
Yeah, so. The Midlife Gamer crew, they've been doing. The what they call the pile of shame, I think we call
right.
it, of a year of shame, and they've been doing that for a few years now. But they couldn't buy anything at all for a full year, so Robin sort of like adapted it and had a budget, which I thought worked really well.
Yeah, I like the budget idea. Yeah. It made it a game within a game.
Yep.
all right, we posted up a question on Facebook. And this actually was something that Nicole and I had been talking about, and so I thought I'd throw it out to the masses on her behalf. And my behalf, too. I shouldn't just say I was interested to kind of get some feedback, too. But so nerfing characters in games, you know, we've seen a lot of developers do this over time. So the question is, does nerfing a character or a character class kill a game for you? Do you like when a dev goes back and tinkers with the mix or the balance of a game weeks or even for some cases months after it's been released? So does that affect you? And so Phil, I'll throw that question out to you first. Where do you stand on that? I mean, do you get bothered when they go in and they start nerfing stuff?
Well, I was actually trying to remember when a game I'd played and where a character had been nerfed, and I can't think of any. So it hasn't affected me. I'm not into those games competitively, you know, whether it's Overwatch or some of the others. I mean, I enjoy Overwatch, you know, I have good fun in there, but I'm not down looking at the stats and, you know, I'm working out there. Outside of video gaming, I've seen it in, you know, tabletop gaming and that sort of thing where companies have nerfed various things as they've revised to try and balance out the game. And you're always going to get people who are upset about it, but in the whole, usually they're doing it to balance out the game because some character of some sort is overpowered or some weapon.
Okay. Yeah. No, I know Overwatch, I think, is one of the more recent nerfing situations.
I think that's one what sort of like kicked off Nicole's question, because I saw a tweet out about Mercy, the character on Overwatch, mm-hmm. has been nerfed, and she was a bit pissed off of that. So I think that's what sparked it off, really.
I think for me, you know, it's when it happens like months down the line and I've been playing a game for a while and maybe they nerf a weapon. I know Battlefield has done that from time to time where they've dialed a weapon back a little bit. And that throws me off because you're kind of expecting it to perform the way it always has. And then suddenly You're like, why is it taking me so many more shots to try and take somebody down with this weapon when in the past it worked just fine? So I think the farther it is from release date to me is when it becomes a little bit more annoying, especially if I'm still playing that game. But if it happens like within that first week and they realize, you know, we just really overpowered this or this is really underpowered and they make a quick change, I'm less inclined to be upset about it. But I know we had a bunch of people responding, Kim, on Facebook. So maybe you could rattle off a few of those.
Sure. We have one from our very own Viva La Pedros, and he says, sometimes it's a great thing and makes the games more even or adds more variety to the game. Especially with shooters, as when one load-up becomes obviously OP, then everyone is the same. Other times, the game can be changed so much it doesn't feel like the game you purchased. FIFA 18, for example, is a completely different game than at the launch version. So yeah, I can see that. Kind of like you said with the weapons, and like you said with Battlefield with the weapons.
Yeah, I think Destiny 1, they nerfed a few weapons for balancing issues. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we have another one from Batch Gaming. He says, I find that a mixed bag because sometimes it's good because they find something that was way overpowered, and on the other hand, sometimes it's bad because you think something was right and then they nerf it when it didn't need to be done.
Yeah, that is aggravating.
Right. And we have another from Big Smooth. No characters are as powerful as your mom. Big Smooth out.
Said you'd like that one, Greg.
Oh, JF.
Yeah. All right. And we have one from Tathman. He says, if the rebalance has affected many different characters and given both nerfs and buffs so that it isn't just one character that is overpowered and now creates more options and a greater viability of using other characters, then it can only be a good thing. This happens with patches, DLC releases all the time in games like Killer Instinct, Mortal Kombat, and to a degree, Street Fighter. So it is nothing new in the FGC. And one more, as I pull it back up here. We have one from Rain God Zippo. It says, I lost it again, hold on. There we go. Rife and MMOs, and it can be an annoying, but generally the developers are doing it for the enjoyment of the majority of players. Because for everyone who is annoyed by a nerf, there are four or five who are annoyed by the overpowered Necromage Doohickey, which he has trademarked, who stomped all over theirs with their superpowers.
Yeah, no, that's true. Doohickey. That's true. Sometimes I suppose that nerfing could be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few comments in the chat as well.
Okay.
You saying it being a positive thing, it's like a Battlefield with a flashlight. When they first put it out, it was so bright, blinded you.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Nobody could stand to deal with it. And then finally they went back and nerfed it so you could actually play the game without being blinded by the flashlight.
I remember that,
yeah.
That was Battlefield 3, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's how I got all my kills. Yeah. Blinded the crap out of everybody.
Now we know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a few comments in the chat. Amros89, Gary Lever has put, people should use a variety of characters, not just their favourite. It's good to change up to make the game fresh. The devs need to balance characters so someone isn't overpowered. Tented Duvet has put, is more disappointed with guns being nerfed than people. To be fair, though, it's a balancing act from the developers. And our good friend of the show, Night Raven, has put, here's what pisses me off with Overwatch. Why would you take away Reaper's soul reaping self-healing ability when as a Reaper you gain strength by reaping souls? So he's not the only one who's pissed off at Overwatch with Nicole. Night Raven's also annoyed. So, Yeah, so that's the comments from the chat.
Yeah, I suppose when it also when they're nerfing a character you like playing a la Overwatch, that has to be annoying, especially if you're wrecking people and suddenly they nerf your character to where it makes it difficult for you to play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully we will see developers be more careful. And when they do nerf, at least do it at the beginning of the life cycle, not so much later on. Again, that's just my own pet peeve. But all right, Mark.
Yes,
I know we're going to run a little long. So apologies to anybody.
I'm going to say, do you want to leave this till next week, or do you want to go for it?
I want to hear this.
Right, okay.
I would love to. So we've got a trivia quiz, but it's an audio trivia quiz.
It's not long.
It's not long.
Yeah.
No. It's not
just
long
two,
at all.
Two questions each, and each one's only okay. about 20 seconds. So I've got okay. a jingle for it as well. You ready?
Okay.
The Overseas Connection presents the world famous, well, okay, not so famous, audio quiz.
Did you hire the devil?
No. I used GarageBand on the Mac, and you can alter your voice. You like right. that? That's good, isn't it? Right,
that's
anyway.
That's good.
So, as Phil is our new host, I will ask Phil the question first. Now, these sound clips are short sound clips from games you've played in the last 12 months. Okay? So, you get a point for each one you get correct. If you don't get it right, it's thrown over to the other guys and they can steal a point. So, Phil, here Ooh. Is your first sound clip.
Like it.
If you're hungry, there's more where that came from. Impressive reflexes, but unnecessary.
Stand down. We're all friends here.
Sorry, I had the volume a bit low on that as well. You should get this because it's a recent one, but go on.
Was it just the one game there?
Yeah.
With all this, yeah, it was XCOM. XCOM 2.
XCOM 2, yeah!
Yeah. Only got on that very last bit though.
Then after that there was the sort of like the guy who does that Hello Commander, and but I thought his voice would be too obvious, so
yeah, that would be
right. So here's your second one, Phil.
What's our target?
You are not verified.
That information can wait for now. Here are next assignments. They are unusual. But these are unusual times. Go, Commander. Do what you do best.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yes. Correct, Amundo. Yeah, well done. So that's 2 for 2 for Phil.
Great single
well done,
I really
Phil.
Enjoyed the single player on that, I have to say.
Right, who wants to go next?
Kim,
right. All right, you ready, Kim? This is your first audio clip.
Okay.
Just spotted one with submachine guns. I got eyes on a sniper.
Moving to position.
Wildlands.
Yay! She's gone. I'm letting position. It go to the end.
Got the target. He's gone.
He's gone. Well, well done, Kim.
I'm afraid, by the way. I'm getting more and more afraid of what you're going to play for me.
Yours is something what you played 15 years ago on Xbox original.
Exactly.
And here is Kim's second one. Phil knows.
I think I know.
If you don't get this, Kim, you are off the podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Done it again?
Yeah, please.
No. What? Greg doesn't approve of that.
Do it again.
All right, okay.
Why not? Come on.
That's all you're getting.
Okay,
So I need your answers after three. Three.
That was a dick move, Robin. That was a dick move.
You going to kick yourself, Kim?
Probably. Is it Andromeda?
No. He's got Phil. Oh, hang on. Yeah, yeah. Right,
Phil did raise his hand first.
Yeah, he did. Go on, Phil.
I think I may get this wrong. Yeah. Is it Gems of War?
Yeah.
That's good. That, yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't. Yeah. All right. Well, although in truth, that game doesn't really have much audio. So, I mean,
it's just the bits where you're dropping stuff down and matching three.
Exactly.
And
yeah. So I'm like, there's no voice. So I don't know.
I thought you'd have got that straight away from the amount of hours you put into that game.
No, because I don't listen. There's nobody right. saying anything to me. So I don't know. It all sounded like a bunch of shit just crashing down. So I don't know.
Right, Greg, you ready?
All right.
This
I'm
is
ready.
Your first audio clip.
This place looks wrecked.
Recore.
Yeah, recore.
Yep.
All right, we'll play to the end. Yep, recore it is. Now, is that the original or the definitive? No, I'm joking.
Because I didn't play it when it first came out. I purposely held off.
Yeah. Right, and here is your second clip.
One down. Nice, okay.
It's quite easy, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
You did not just pretend my breakfast, but my arse.
That is Flying Tiger's Shadows Over China.
Correct, Amundo. Yeah. So two for Phil, two for Greg, and just one for Kim. So I'll write them down, and we'll do a season on these.
I like it. That was well done, Mark. That was a great.
Did you like that? Yeah, Gary Amras approves.
You're kicking yourself for missing Gems of War. I know.
Yeah. Right. I was like. Just sounds like shit colliding. What the fuck is it? I don't know.
That's what Gems of War is, shit colliding.
I was going to go with Dragon Age Inquisition, so I was going to be wrong too.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, yeah.
Sorry. No. Yep. Gary has corrected me. Phil has 3 points because he stole Kim's point.
Oh, that's
so well,
right.
Well done, Gary. Yeah, so three for Phil.
Cheers, Gary. Thank you.
Good guy.
I'll pay you later.
All right. Let us continue this trudgingly forward. Actually, Phil, I'm going to put you to work.
Okay.
So we have our new release calendar. Since Kim just went through all the Facebook replies, I figured we might as well get your dulcet tones talking, even though you've been feeling under the weather. Why not? So if you could cough your way through the new releases, that would be fantastic.
Okay, new releases for 21st to the 27th of January 2018. We have Lost Sphere on Switch, PS4 and PC coming out January 23rd. The Inpatient on PSVR January 23rd. Iconoclasts PS4, Vita, PC also on January 23rd.
Pause you real quick.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're changing up this year, we're going to also tell people the genre and who's making the game.
Okay.
So that's underneath all of that.
Yeah. Okay, so Lost Sphere is RPG. It's coming from Square Enix and the developers Tokyo RPG Factory. The Impatient, which was on PSVR, is an adventure game, and that's from Sony and Supermassive Games. Iconoclasts, which was PS4, Vita, and PC, is a platformer. Never heard of it, but it's from Bitfrost Entertainment and the developers Konjac. Then we have The Seven Deadly Sins, Knights of Britannia, PS4, which is an RPG from Bandai Namco. Dragon Balls FighterZ, PS4, Xbox One, PC on January the 26th, which is a fighting game, surprisingly. And that's Bandai Namco Games as well, with Arc System Works. And then the big one, I think, that's one that has been under the radar that I'm actually interested in playing, is Monster Hunter World on PS4 and Xbox One on January 26th. Which is from Capcom. And I'm really interested in this one.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of good feedback on it. Steve Conger had reached out to me asking me I was going to be getting. He's been, I guess, playing the beta. That's been fantastic. So this is another big game. And to start the year off, it's tempting. It's tempting. Mm.
Yeah. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah. And Dragon Ball Z's Fighters, I should say, or Dragon Ball Fighter Z, that game actually has gotten surprisingly good press as well. I'm not a Dragon Ball Z person at all. I could give a rat's ass, but it has a big following. And there's a lot of people that love that universe for whatever reason. Go figure. That's my take. All right. I know we've already talked about the January freebies in the past, but just in case you did not pick up on your Xbox One first half games, you still can get The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3. That is available all the way through the end of the month. Zombie is now available, and that will be available up until February 15th on the Xbox. And then the Xbox 360 game Army of Two is available from the 16th all the way through the end of the month for backwards compatibility as well. For PS Plus for January 2018, all month long, you can get Deus Ex Mankind Divided for PS4, as well as Batman the Telltale series. That to me is the big gem on this list, although I did like Deus Ex Mankind Divided as well. Starblood Arena is a PS Plus bonus game for PSVR owners. And then That's You is a PS Plus bonus game for PlayLink players. That's their mobile phone app tie-in game. Then you can get Sacred 3 on the PS3, Book of Unwritten Tales 2 on the PS3, and then Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness on PS Vita. And last but not least, Uncanny Valley on the PS Vita and PS4. Nice try, Robin. Yes, the Robin gave it a different name in our list. All right. Let us move forward to Victories Achieved. Mark, why don't you take this?
So Victories Achieved is our quarterly competition where when you finish a game, you submit the credits with your face in the foreground, smiling away at us, and then you tweet that to at OC underscore podcast with the hashtag Victory Achieved, and each one will be retweeted by our very nice Bongo the Sane and then put into a draw for some real money. You can win $20 or £15 on the gaming platform of your choice, whether that's PSN, Xbox Live, Steam, Nintendo, or whatever you want. So this week we've had the following Victory Achieved submitted to us. Amros89 finished Finding Paradise. Sounded like a shit game. Shit show game. John Mouse finished Titanfall 2. Great game. Jute Scaff finished Ghost Recon Wildlands. Another great game. And that was his game of the year as well. If you listen to the veteran gamers. So he was a man. Bit, yeah, he's a bit worried no one would approve of his choice, but I think it's an excellent choice. Dinoc TQ finished Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Amras89 finished Sigmund Minisode. Another weird and shit game, probably. Yep, yeah, he's put fuck off Mark in the chat. Infected Psych has finished Thimbleweed Park. And the big one of the century. We've got to have a drum roll for this. GamerGirl27 has finished Dragon Age Inquisition! Cybul27 finished Battlefield 1. Oh my god, right, I'm leaving this to last. Dinoc TQ finished Wolfenstein The New Colossus. And Amras89 has finished one of the worst sounding games I've ever heard.
Alright, do we know this for real?
It is real. I have looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Gary. Shame on you.
He has finished the game Genital Jousting. You heard that right. Genital Jousting.
You suck!
I looked this up on YouTube. It is real. It's basically cock and balls with a little asshole between the ball sack. And you have to go around and just basically penetrate each other. And they want us to play with them tonight in this game, so do you want to give up some?
Surprised.
Yeah, do you want to give up some PUBG for that, Greg, tonight? No,
no,
no, no, no, no, I don't think so.
I will leave Gary to his own genital jousting.
Gary said it. They call it nut butt. The nut butt. Yeah, so that's this week's Victory to Cheese, and apparently, genital jousting, as well as being a multiplayer penetration game. It's actually got, must have a single player game because he's finished it to the credits. So. They all get this special sound clip, even Gary.
You all have a victory's achieved! Victory's achieved! You have one! Victory's achieved!
I'm going to have to change that to you got a victory penetrated.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. you have been violated.
Yeah.
All right. Look, if you have hung out this far, thank you. Thank you for joining the show this week. We very much appreciate our listeners. So that's why we do things like Victories Achieved. We really love building that sense of community, and I think we have a fantastic community of gamers that we all associate with. So that said, if you're listening to this, say, on iTunes or on, was it the Zune? Remember the old Zune?
Gardens of Galaxy 2 was a Zune in that.
Yep. I think I still have a Zune somewhere. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. All right. But if you're listening to this on a device and you're wondering what it would be like to watch us during a podcast, you can do that. Every week we are on Saturdays, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast, and for the poor bastards in the U.K., we are on 11 p.m. in the U.K., but what else do you have to do? Are you going to sleep? Of course not. You want to listen to us. So go over to twitch.tv/OCPodcast or mixer.com/OCPodcast, or if you're on the YouTubes, youtube.com/OverseasConnectionPodcast, because we wanted to make that one long for some reason. Go there. Check out our videos. You can watch us live. You can catch us on the rebound when we are not live, but you want to watch us live because it's more fun that way. And you can be part of the chat. You can join in with the chat and basically have a good time late in the night or early in the day, depending on your time zone. And, of course, iTunes and Stitcher and Zune if you're on there. Leave us a review. We would love to get reviews from you. Someday, some year, we will actually read reviews on our podcast. But I'm afraid to see what is going to be there. So, yeah, maybe not. All right, Mark, there's this thing called clubs that's like everywhere.
Yeah.
I think we have some. You want to talk about those clubs real quick?
Yeah, we've got clubs on Xbox One. We've got the OC Podcast community on PS4. We've got an OC Podcast group on Steam. And we have a Discord server, which is...
What?
Yeah, Discord, it's the future. Discord.ocpod.com. And we've also got a Destiny 2 clan. For those still playing it.
People still playing Destiny 2?
I haven't played it for a while, to be honest.
Yeah. I hear you there. All right. More importantly, we want you to listen to this little tidbit.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, so it is that time. We're going to wrap the show up. Phil, this is where we do our shout-outs. We give praise to somebody worthy of praise. We give that final parting tidbit of information you want to leave somebody with. I would like to start this with you and one, say thank you again for your inaugural first show. It was great to have you on. And yeah, thank you again. So start us off and then pass it to whoever you want.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you very much, guys, for inviting me to be part of this team. Thank you, Greg, Mark, and Kim, and everyone else. And it's been fantastic, and I can't wait for many, many more shows, hopefully. I'll keep it short at the moment because we'll keep going. And Gary, of course, Gary Amras, we love you too. Kim, over to you.
Yeah, I want to welcome Phil. Welcome to the group. I'm glad to have you, you know. I want to shout out our chatters who've been in there today. We've had a couple of new ones show up. There's Electric Maestro. We had Tinted Duvet. There's been Hardly Dan's in there. Baron Von Glauer. Amorous is in there as well. Martin is in there. So, yeah, it was a pretty good chat tonight. So, thanks for that. And last but certainly not least, I want to wish a happy birthday to Mike Brashler, affectionately known as M. Brashler or Dirthead. He had a birthday Wednesday. So, you know, happy birthday, my friend. Here's to many more. So how about you there, Mark?
Yeah, I want a big shout out to Phil and welcome to the team. It's great to have you on board and hope you can be here for many, many shows to come. I want a big shout out to Sarah, RCGC and John Mouse for some tweets we've been sending this week. Sarah has given me and Nicole a heads up on a PS4 game which she wants to play with us, and John Mouse for agreeing with my game of year decision, Horizon Zero Dawn. So thank you, John. Robin, have a safe flight to Italy tomorrow. That's why Italy's in the thing at the beginning, Greg. That's where he's going tomorrow for work.
Right.
And to Gary, here's a little bit of his favourite game. Let's see if I can get this working.
I'm not fucking, I am Dion. Okay, so you just have to fuck the ass. Get yes, you're fucked. You're fucked.
Jeff, get away from me.
So you still can...
Right, I didn't think there'd be voiceover on that. I thought it'd just be the game, but yeah, you get an idea what the game's like. I had to learn
that's
that
how we roll,
blind.
Folks. Yeah. That is how we
yeah,
roll.
So, yeah, just you left, Greg, to take us out.
All right. A couple other birthdays that I want to give some shout-outs to. We have Paul Gaskill having a birthday today. He's also known as PG Tips. And then Dave Avery, Smurftastic. Big shout-out and birthday wishes to him. I actually was playing PUBG earlier tonight with him, as well as his girlfriend Emma, and had a really fun time with them. So thank you for that. Of course, thank you to the three of you. Phil, thank you for joining the podcast and being part of this merry band of completely dysfunctional podcasters. But we do love having you on and look forward to many, many more. This is our last show, by the way, just in case you're curious. Yeah. No. We've got more in us. We're at least getting to 500. Come on. All right. Shout out to the listeners. Thanks again for tuning in. Come back. We would love to have you listen again. So we'll be on next week. We hope you are here with us. And if you're not, at least hopefully you're doing something more fun. And that's it. That's the show, guys. Let's wrap this up. Let's play some outro music and get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.